15 to 24 tonight. Praise God. Gospel of Luke 14, 24. Recently in the U.S., just outside of an apartment, there was a great explosion causing one big hole in the ground. Everything that was nearby was greatly damaged. Not only the damage had been done, but sooner or later, the ground beneath will literally collapse. Scientists called this a sinkhole. Scientists revealed when underground streams drain away during the seasons of drought, causing the ground on the surface to lose its underlying support. And this will cause the ground to cave in, leaving fear and suspicion to people who live nearby. Church, if we are not careful, the Florida sinkhole is a physical picture of a spiritual problem of today. That many believers are caught up with the busyness of life, with the cares of this world, so caught up in that, leaving a spiritual sinkhole in their heart, ready to collapse. In our text tonight, Jesus addressed this problem. And in our text tonight, all these three men were invited by the master. The Bible says they all gave excuses. They were invited. But all these three believers, listen to this, they all gave excuses. This is a modern problem of today, where people always say, listen to this, I am busy, I don't have time. I've got something else to do. When the invitation comes before them, all they do is to give excuses. So tonight I want to minister the message I've entitled, Destroy Excuses, Luke 14, 15 to 24. Then one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things. He said to Jesus, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Remember that. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, talking about Christians, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. Right? It's like testing a car. Eh? I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, wailily, and therefore I cannot come. Oh, honeymoon time, eh? So that the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, saying to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Let us consider firstly the danger or the peril. We are truly living in a generation unlike any other generation. This world is getting busy and busier almost every day. In the city of New York, in the train station, this is one of the busiest train stations in the world. 500 trains coming in and more than 500 trains going out. In Singapore, in the harbor, more than 500 ships comes in and go out the same day. Think about in 5 years from now, the traffic jam that we encounter daily. Think about 10 years from now, the Suva and the Nosori corridor. Some people may have to travel very early in the morning. So early in the morning to be in their workplace before 8. Truly we live in a busy lifestyle or a busy world. And people are being attracted, amen, to all of this madness. Before they design the house, there's always a living room. Settee. Often many times people will come after day's work, people will come and talk. But today, the living room is getting empty because everybody is super busy. And many people are so busy with their phones, social media, right? In our text tonight, Luke 15, the master gave a supper and a invitation, amen, for this man to come. But the Bible says all of them refused, flatly refused, amen, the invitation. It looks like that is the same problem we have today. They were invited, amen, to eat bread, to come and to eat into the kingdom of God. But all of them, amen, said, I am too busy. I've got this problem. I got a wife. I got a new car. I got this new land, a portion of land that I bought. It's amazing that people can be available. Go here, to go there, go everywhere. But to come to church? For the kingdom's sake? I am busy. Verse 16. A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. The Bible says a certain man gave a great, the word great supper and invited many. Oh, I want to let you know tonight, God has a great plan, a great meal for you, a great dish. So great. But many people will not see that, what the master has in heart. One man said, if you are too busy for God, you are too busy. If God is not important to you in the beginning, then he is not important to you in the end. The challenge tonight, can you see that you are invited to a great supper? Can you see the blessing? God has great plans for you. You are gloriously invited to it. This is a problem with many Christians. Amen. They start well in their Christianity, but they are caught up in the busyness of life. They let this lifestyle to squeeze what's really important in their life, and that is God. don't care how busy this world gets. I don't care. But I choose to put God first, no matter what. Many are so busy, noisy on the outside and on the surface. So many good men are so tired, and much of our energy and time are given to the surface, and there is nothing wrong with that. Listen to this, but unbeknown to many, we have created a bottomless pit within us, leaving a spiritual sinkhole caving in within our soul. You know, have you seen, I don't know about you, I like onion. And most of us will buy onions, right? Every time. Onion has layers. One layer, another layer, another layer. Every time you say no to God, you create another layer in your heart. God, I'm so busy this week. Another layer. God, I have a family coming from Nevada. Another layer. Every time this door open, I mean God is inviting people to come. Not realizing our heart is getting harder. Oscar Wilde, this man said, the gods had given me almost everything, but I let myself lured into the spells of senseless and sensual ease. Tired of being on the heights, I deliberately went to the depths in search for a new sensation. I grew careless of the lives of others. I took pleasure when it pleased me and passed on. I forgot that every little action of the common day makes or unmakes character, and that therefore what one has done in the secret chamber, one has someday to cry aloud from the housetop. I ceased to be the lord over myself. I was no longer captain of my soul, and did not know it. I allowed the pleasure to dominate me. I ended in a horrible disgrace. My point tonight, it does not matter how busy you are in life, pay attention to your spiritual life. Pay attention to the inner man. Pay attention, listen to this, to the inner being. Here is a man who his spiritual life symbols why he is hooked and trapped with the business of life, because this man paid little attention to his spiritual life. You will never serve God if you continue to say, you know what, I'm so busy, I'm so busy, I'm so busy. I got no time. In our text, all these believers said one thing, I am too busy, and that kept them out of the kingdom. Right? They were given an opportunity to be blessed, but failed to grab it, failed to see. Verse 24 of Luke 14, but say to you that none of the men invited shall taste my supper. I know men of today who are not in the church, not living for God, because they are so busy. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. Some people look so busy, end up doing nothing. Secondly, we need to destroy excuses. Evangelist Billy Sunday defined an excuse as is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Many of you will know the PVC pipe, eh? Well, Billy Sunday, this great preacher said, excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. In Genesis 3:12, Adam made his first excuse for sin, and many have followed his bad example. Verse 11 of Genesis 3, I mean, God said to Adam, who told you you were naked? Verse 12, then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And God turned to Eve, verse 13, what is this you have done? Eve said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Both of the men and the woman, they all gave excuses. See, human nature loves to shift the blame to others. We love to shift the blame. Come on, somebody. All right? Just like Adam and Eve, excuses only makes matters worse. Hallelujah. The difference between David and Saul was their character. In 1 Samuel 13, 10, 15, David sinned. But this man confessed his sins. But not Saul. Saul failed to tell the truth. That's what excuses does. When he sinned, he had only excuses. Saul lied to his best friend Samuel and cost him his crown. And Saul would do it again in 1 Samuel 15:15. From that point, listen to this, his course was downhill, verse 14 and verse 15. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which are here? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Sounds good. Sounds super spiritual. We love to do that. Right? We keep it. Right? Our answer always sugar-coated. Sugar, you know what, coated answers. Sounds so good and so spiritual. Same old, we keep the best part so that you can sacrifice it to God. What? God said, I don't care how good or bad, just kill it. Everything. See, Saul did not obey God. His excuses sound so spiritual, but in reality, he lied. Swooping down on the spoil of the Amalekites. As a result, he lost his destiny. He lost the kingdom. Why? Because of excuses. Benjamin Franklin said about excuses, I never knew a man who was good at making excuses who was good at anything else. In our text, Luke 14, 18, 19, 20, the Bible says they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground. Very good, you have bought a land. And I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come because she comes from Tanzania. And women from Tanzania, they are super different. They are all good. If we think about it, so good. It's a blessing. Buying the 5 yoke of oxen, great blessing. Buying a piece of land, number one. Having a wife, too good. We need to be very careful about the blessings. Right? Blessings over God. The blessings of God over God's calling. Hallelujah. To attend the great supper. Thank God for all the blessings. Can you say amen? But keep it loose. Keep it loose. Because God said more blessing is coming. That will blow your mind off. Keep it loose. All right? Verse 17. Come, for all the things are now ready. God gave them all of these things, but all the blessing becomes a stumbling block, amen, to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You notice one thing for this man? I have bought a piece of land. I just got married. I bought some bullocks. One thing, just one thing. Can I ask you tonight the pressing question? What is the one thing? Normally every time, what is the one thing that's stopping you from surrendering your heart to God and to follow Jesus? What is that one thing? Each man had one thing. One thing you've lacked, Jesus said. What is that one thing that stops you from serving God wholeheartedly? A piece of ground? The oxen? Maybe a family? Maybe your career? Maybe education? All these things are good. Number one, I love it. Right? Hallelujah. One man said, your greatest ability is your availability. Hallelujah. I want to tell you tonight, it's not a healthy sign when people start to make excuses in life. Excuses must be destroyed. Think about the invitation. Great supper. This master, right, inviting you to what? To the table. To eat what? Eat food. I don't know. Somebody, you know, called me every day. Pastor Coley, every day I want you to go to McDonald's. I tell him one in the morning, one in the afternoon. I love the invitation. The more the better. The more the merrier. Amen. This is not a joke. God is saying, the man is saying, hey, stop biting your fingernails and being sorry about yourself. I have a great supper ready for you. Which one is better? Biting your fingernails? Oh, so hard. Oh, so bad. The whole world is crazy. Me too. I'm finishing. I'm done. Which one is better? God is saying, come. Yeah. Don't you realize that? The food is ready, right? I'm inviting you. And yet people are so dumb to understand that invitation is so great. Yeah. Can I tell you tonight, there's no room for excuses in the kingdom of God. You miss God big time when you do that. As a result, the master was angry. God was not pleased because all of them, they gave excuses. Verse 21 to verse 22. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, God is not happy. Because when you reject the invitation of the master, you reject life. You reject the blessing that you have never experienced before. God is not pleased about this. Hallelujah. See, your Christianity will turn around when we don't make excuses. Let me close. Let me talk about the great supper and the blessing and the reward. Because all these three men failed to taste the great supper. They miss their opportunity, right? Howard Rutledge was a United States Air Force pilot. This man was shot down in North Vietnam during the early stages of the war. In his book, In the Presence of My Enemies, he reflects upon the resources from which he drew when in days are so hard and painful in the enemy prison camps. This is what he wrote. During those longer periods of enforced reflection, it became easier to separate the important from the trivial, the worthwhile from the waste. For example, in the past, I usually worked and played hard on Sundays and had no time for church. For years, Phyllis, my wife, had encouraged me to join the family church. She never nagged or scolded me. She just kept hoping. But I was too busy, too preoccupied to spend one or two short hours a week thinking about the really important things. Now in Vietnam, the sights and the sound of death smell surrounds me. My hunger for spiritual food soon outdid my hunger for steak. I wanted to talk about God, Christ, and the church, but in heartbreak, I am in the enemy's camp, solitary confinement. There was no pastor, no Sunday school teacher, no Bible, no hymn book, no community of believers to guide and sustain me. I had completely neglected the spiritual dimension of my life. It took the prison to show me how empty life is without God. Hallelujah. Think about it. We have a tremendous opportunity before us. Hallelujah. The call tonight, amen, to come to this great supper. Salvation is just the beginning of the great things God has for your life. Salvation is a feast. Remember that. It's not a funeral. When we eat together, it should be the time of loving fellowship and joyful gratitude to God. God wants his house to be filled. Remember that. God said, amen, I have a blessing, amen, waiting for you. If you start comes, amen, and to attend, amen, my house faithfully, I will give you the blessing that you never experienced before. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house will be filled. God never commissioned the angels, but you and I as servants, we have a privilege to tell the world, amen, for them, amen, to come because all things are ready. Hallelujah. Can I tell you tonight? There is a reward and a blessing when we respond to the invitation to attend this feast with Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 15 of our text, listen to this. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom. Can you see the blessing? Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom. What is bread represents? It represents the word of God. When you come to the house of God and take in the bread of life, the word of God, God says you shall be blessed. The church is a place whereby you will find answers in life. Right. You want to be educated? Go to the school. You want to know God? Right. Go to the church. Amen. There's no such thing, Lone Ranger Christianity. God, the Master, is inviting you because he wants to bless you. But the problem, we love our sin. We think, you know what, my plan is much more greater than God's plan. No, no, God said, no, your plan is peanut. First, we are peanut already. We look like peanut. And we make plans like peanut. No wonder end of the day we become peanut. A monkey loves peanut. God says, stop. I have great supper for you. Right? You can eat all the duck. So much the duck will come out from your nose. Right? No eyes have seen or heard or understand what God has for those who love him. Right? This is just a scratch on the surface. Right? This is the week of revival. Every night you come in to come and eat. And eat. And eat. Hallelujah. David experienced this ageless truth. Psalm 23:16, verse 3. He restores my soul. David told us that in the house of the Lord is the place where God will restore our soul. Many people, their soul, guess what? Is wounded, is broken. You want to live like that all the days of your life? Being broken? Right? The problem with mankind, we patch. The patch is already there. We take another patch, put in another patch. Patch to patch. God don't patch things up. God will fix it. What you can do for 10 years, God can do in a second. That's why come. Come. Because I've seen your soul is broken by sin. You have no power to fix that broken soul. In the house you'll find. David in a spirit to be like a pastor where God be a shepherd. Led him to calm waters, green pastures, and the table loaded with food to be eaten in safety. No cholesterol. Right? Amen. Howard Rutledge was too busy to preoccupied in life, but today God was very real and very important part of his existence. Psalms 28:4-5. This is David. David is something, man. Right? This guy can kill the lion just like that. David can kill the bear just like that. Imagine one lion come from there. We got 2 doors. We make 5 doors here. You think you're strong? Right? You jump into the cage, we release one lion to you. Then you see the fun. But this is David. Listen, this is David. Right? Kill the bear, kill the lion, kill Goliath. Just like that. No problem. But this is David. Consider this text, Psalms 28:4-5. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. But we don't want to dwell and come to church. Because we think, you know what? I'm smarter than anybody. Yeah. I don't need God. David said, I may dwell in the house of the Lord. David chose something. Right? It is in that place that I will be blessed. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, listen to me, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Listen to this pavilion, amen. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Set me high upon the rock. Some of us beneath the rock. Church, I believe we must destroy excuses. It's all worth it. Wondering what Jesus did, he did not give excuses when the Father told him, take the cross. No. He said, Daddy, not my will, but your will be done. I'm ready for it. Hallelujah. The problem of today, Christians makes excuses. We know we can do it. We know we can get it done. All sorts of excuses withdraw. We know. But one birthday party, when one birthday invitation comes, we'll fire the pillar just like that, and the pillar will go. Yeah. One party from here, one party from there, will go just like that. No problem. Never mind the lightning. Yeah. But now, God inviting you and I to this great supper. Hallelujah. Coming to church, when that door is open, you are coming. You said, God, you know what? I'm coming, man. Because something in that house, something when I sit on that table with the master, something supernatural begins to happen. I don't know about you. I want to be blessed in life, man. I'm fed up of the curse and all this nonsense before salvation. I want to be super blessed, not because I want, I want to bless others. I want to touch nations for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the key here, you be at the table. You be at the table. You know what God can, you know what God can do in Psalm 23? Right? By sitting on the table, enjoying the food, your enemy looking, watching at you. But you enjoying the steak. You can do what you want to do. I can enjoy in the table, on the table with God. I can experience the blessing. You can scratch your head, put a knife on your back, you know, do what you want to do. I can enjoy the blessing of God on his table. You know the marriage supper of the Lamb? Right? When you're going to go up, like Christians are going to go up, going to take 7 years. You can eat anything you want to eat. It will come out from your ears, from your mouth. Because God has the power to do that. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah. Come. Right? Forget about going to McDonald's. This is more than McDonald's. Because I am the master. I have great feast. Salvation is having a great feast. Many people come to church, eh? You've seen people come to church? Hey, what happened? No, you coming, enjoy that great food. Blessed are those who eat bread in the kingdom. Blessed are those people. Hallelujah. So we need to see. We need to change the way we see. We come to church. Right? God coming down and meet with us. That's why I never stop coming to church. Feelings and emotions, you know what wants to? Oh, don't go to church, you know, all these things. We're so busy. Now, maybe the dog bite your leg, or I don't know, you know. Let the dog bark. Amen. Yeah, you know that song? Let the dog bark. Not the case song in the world. Let it bark. But you make up your mind. Right? True. Make up your mind to serve God. Now, why? Because I come to church. God will meet up with me. Can I tell you tonight the secret? Most of my prayers and blessing, right, God releases it simply by going to church. I tell you what. Most of my prayers just being answered, right, by me going to church. God blesses my life. Right? On that fine road of doing God's will, that is a place where you're going to find the miracles of God. Not outside of that. Right? That's why I encourage you right here. David says, all the days of my life, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I have every head bowed? Eyes